Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
The Cowboys are reeling after another blowout loss, and their 2-5 record could easily be 0-7 if not for a couple of late-game field goals. Dallas has the worst-scoring defense in the league, and Pro Football Focus points out that they also have the lowest-graded coverage unit in the NFL. PFF continues to write that Dallas may not win more than one more game the rest of the season. Shannon, how do you explain what went wrong for this team?
And if that's true, let's just say there's someone on this side of the table that wouldn't be terribly disappointed if they just won one more game the rest of the season.
How about no more games?
And I just want to know all the Cowboys. I got some friends that are Cowboys fans, and now all of a sudden they don't want to talk to me, Skip. They won't answer my call. I'm talking to you, Carl Lee Booker. This team bought into their own hype. Skip, year after year, you read the stat. Pro Football Focus says this is the most talented team. This year, Pro Football Focus said they had the sixth most talented roster team. They had the third most talented offense, 15th best defense. And what the Cowboys do and what Jerry has always done, Skip, he went with recognizable names. Let me get the big names. Everson Griffin, I want him. Dante Poe, I want Dante Poe. Jerry McCoy, I got to get him. That's what he does every single year, not knowing, okay, yeah, these are big names, but are they going to fit with what Mike Nolan's going to really be trying to do? Nah, but I just need the name. As long as I got the name, people will recognize the name, they'll watch the Cowboys. Okay, get that. Also, Jerry does not realize, or he's starting to realize now, that a value for a player, especially a player of Dak, does not just resonate on the field. You see how this team is completely falling apart in the locker room, Skip? It's things like that that Tom Brady and Peyton Manning has always gotten credit for that you're starting to see. You know what? Dak was the de facto leader of this team.
Not de facto. I mean, he just flat out was.
Yes. Yeah. He was the guy. He was the glue that held this thing together. And sometimes you have to pay extra for that. So if you pay Tom Brady $30 million a year, let's just say you give him $30 million, you probably should pay him $40 because that extra $10 was because he's going to hold it together in the locker room, and problems that would normally arise that the coach would have to deal with, it never makes it. That's what the real leaders do, Skip. They make sure the coach, there are certain things the coaches should never have to hear about because the leaders take care of that before it ever makes it up to the second floor. Nah, that's not what Jerry did, Skip. You cannot use injuries because there are a lot of teams that beat the hell.
Agreed.
Skip, is there anybody more beat the hell than the Eagles? With three receivers, their entire offensive line, their running back. Now, granted, they still have Wentz in there, but I don't know how he come back and play every single week with all the hits and the sacks that he's been taking. Skip, at some point in time, we got to stop blaming the coaches. And I don't really know Mike McCarthy. Some say he's great, but Aaron Rodgers seemed to have soured on him. It seemed to have got stagnant the last couple of years in Green Bay, and they wanted to move in a different direction. Mm-hmm. But, Skip, I want to show you something last night. There was a play last night in the Rams game. And if I'm not mistaken, this is a brand new defensive coordinator. And they had no offense because Wade Phillips was there. I want you to watch this play on fourth down. And I want you to watch Jalen Ramsey. I want you to watch Lewis. I want you to watch how they do this. Mm-hmm. Can we, Jim, we have that? Now, this is Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey is a 200-pound. He takes on a tackle, a 320-pound tackle. It's called setting the edge. In lay terms, it's called containment. He says, I refuse to give up my outside shoulder. You will turn this ball back inside. Lewis is right there fighting the tight end over the top, and you watch the safety hit it. Simple as that, Skip. What's your responsibility? Jalen Ramsey says, I am not giving up my outside shoulder. Lewis says, I'm going to continue to fight over the top. Safety says, I'm coming down here right now. A fourth and one turned into a minus 2 yard gain.
Quick question. Did the Cowboys have a Jalen Ramsey?
No, Skip.
Do they?
Skip. You know what? In a situation like this, it's not about who you have if displaying your responsibility. If you got contained, you don't let your outside shoulder get, you don't let your outside arm get caught. If that's your responsibility, that's it, Skip. Because what are cornerbacks known for? Man, that's your tackle. Man, he ain't trying to get mixed up. He's trying to get picks. Jalen Ramsey says, I got a responsibility. Normally, when a tackle pulls, DBs hit the ground. They try to cut his legs out from under. But Jalen knows if I do that, he's going to keep to the edge. He's going to get the first down. He says, no, I'm going to stay in my ground. That's what you have to have, Skip. You have to have players that's willing to accept responsibility and do their job. You can't say, Skip, this defense doesn't fit my personality if you don't hit your gap. If you don't do your, I can't say, Skip, man, you know, this Ravens offense don't fit my skill set. If I drop a pass, if I blow an assignment, I can't use that as an excuse. That is the difference in what you're seeing now, Skip.
Yet, last night, speaking of, I saw the great Jalen Ramsey twice get smoked by a rookie receiver where he bid on a stutter go. And I'm like...
And he bid on the out and up.
And what if Nick Foles has just a half second that's more? Half second more.
That's Nick Foles. That's Nick Foles.
You mean the Super Bowl MVP Nick Foles? Who played two of the greatest playoff games you've ever seen? That guy?
Yeah, that guy.
You give him one more second and that ball is on the money.
But the really good ones, Skip, they make that.
By the way, how great was Jalen Ramsey just a week ago at San Francisco when they trailed 21-6 in the second quarter?
Skip, I'm just asking. Okay. I'm just talking about their instances.
Okay. And you're right about all those, but I can't put any credence in any one of them because this team from the start, from the game against Jalen Ramsey out here to open the game, the season, on Sunday Night Football, this team started quitting on its new head coach and especially its new defensive coordinator.
If you just got to the season, you the first game and you quit already.
It was already happening in camp practice when nobody on defense could figure out what Mike Nolan was trying to teach them. He kept changing. Let's do that. No, let's do that. No, I think today let's try this. He seemed overmatched. There was a series, like a parade of veteran DBs, especially safeties, who just said, I don't know what he's talking about. Clinton Dix clashed with him right away, and they cut him for Mike Nolan because Mike Nolan's a guru. He's been around this league for 30 years coaching defense. And then Brandon Carr, not a great player, but he'd started every game he had ever played in this league, every game including all 16 games for the Ravens last year. He clashed with Mike Nolan early, and they whacked him and sent him on his way. You can't tell me that Earl Thomas wouldn't have helped this team, and I got all the baggage, and you're dead right about all that, and maybe it would have been too much, but I'm talking about desperation here. Would Earl Thomas have helped this defense? You know he would have because it's the worst defense potentially in the history of pro football. Well, Mike Nolan, trust me, he was first in line to say, Jerry, no, I don't want to coach that guy because he's got ties to Baltimore. He knows what all where all the bodies were buried with Earl Thomas. He wanted no part of that. So Mike Nolan wanted to be the dictator of the defense. You're going to do it my way or the highway. And a lot of players after 2 weeks said, we'd rather be on the highway. Most of the negative quotes, I'm sure, and probably all of them, came from the defensive side of the ball. Now, quickly to your point about Dak. I love Dak Prescott. And you're right. He's the unquestioned leader of the locker room, the huddle, the franchise. And they do miss that steady sort of guiding hand, just that voice in the locker room that says, hey, we can figure this out. Let's not overreact to this. Shannon, Dak Prescott, in his last 17 games before he, unfortunately, knock on wood, got hurt. I hope he bounces back quickly. He was 6-11 as the Cowboys starter in his previous 17 games. And he was the starter on opening night when they fell quickly behind to the Rams 7-0. Opening drive, the Rams went 75 yards in seventh place, and it was 7-0.
Right.
Isn't that just sort of the theme of the whole season?
Yep.
Atlanta, they fell behind 20-0 after one quarter and were down 29-10 at half. And you know that miracles had to happen for them to win that game. Then at Seattle, they're down 30-15 in the third quarter. They almost rallied, but Dak couldn't quite get them home. And then the Browns, they were down 41-14 in the third quarter. That's unacceptable. That's just wrong, wrong, wrong.
Right.
And then finally, the Giants, while Dak was still afloat, they fell behind 17-3 early in that game.
Right.
It's just wrong. The Giants are the Giants, and they were really bad at that point. They're right. starting to try to figure some yeah. things out. They were just bad. And then Arizona, obviously, they fell behind quickly. It was 21-3 after a quarter. It was 31-3 in the third quarter. It was abysmal. It was an embarrassment. And then you know what happened at Washington. I don't even need to start on that. Quit. So let's go back to preseason. Pro Football Focus said I think they had three most underrated teams in pro football, and this was one of them.
Yes.
Consensus pick to win the NFC East was the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes.
Dak was, I think, the third
best.
Third or fourth best odds,
MVP.
I think Fox Bet had him fourth, but I think Caesars had him at third mm-hmm. for MVP.
Mm-hmm.
The team is loaded. The team's got a chance. A lot of people some people picked them to win the NFC. I wasn't going to go that far.
Right.
I said 10 wins. I now, at this moment, seriously, from my heart, I don't see how they'll win one more game. Because the only two I would give them a shot in are Washington on Thanksgiving. Do you remember what happened last Thanksgiving when I thought they could beat Buffalo at home? Do you remember what Buffalo did to them?
Yep.
Buffalo annihilated them and embarrassed them on the biggest national stage of the year.
Two Thanksgivings in a row y'all got annihilated.
That is correct.
San Diego did that to y'all two the year before.
They sure did. That was with no Zeke, and Dak was really having a hard time. But that was a humiliation. Okay, so the same Washington team that just destroyed Dallas at Washington, do you really think that my team can beat them on Thanksgiving? Because I don't. I don't see any hope there. Then the other game is at Joe Burrow's. Is he playing great for a rookie?
Yeah.
I mean, just great.
I don't know about how good his defense is, but I know he can light your defense up.
Okay. So you look at what Cincinnati has done this year. I know they're only 1-5-1. They've only lost one game badly, and that was at Baltimore, and there's no shame in that.
Exactly.
Because every other game, it's by 3 to the Chargers when they led going to the fourth quarter, and then they tied Philly, and then they beat Jacksonville by 8, and they lost a game by 4, then they lost the Browns by 3. Every game has been fairly close except for Baltimore.
Right.
Do you really think my team can go to Cincinnati and beat them? Because that kid is going to throw a party on my defense. Just
Skip,
watch.
The thing is, when you look at it, okay, you look at your personnel, you evaluate your personnel, and Dallas has a personnel to play a 4-man front. Well, Mike Nolan really likes to base out of a 3-man.
Okay.
So that means.
And he wanted people standing up instead of hand in dirt.
Right.
Okay.
Because he wants to be, D Law would really need to play a 5 technique.
Yep.
Like a J.J. Watt.
Yep, I agree.
That's what he would really need. Instead of that cowboy front, the 9 in.
Okay. So to me, in the end, even after the line got decimated, the offensive line, you still have a second rounder at guard and a second rounder who just came in at the other guard.
Right.
And the center's a fairly high pick.
He's the third rounder, right? Biotish?
Biotish was
third or fourth.
I think he was fourth round. Tyler Biotish from Wisconsin. I think he's a pretty good player. And Cam Irving's over here on the left side. He was once the 14th overall pick, and then you've got an undrafted free agent over
on
the
right side. You remember the thing that I remember about Cam Irving? Was on that Monday night game against Aaron Donald.
I know.
You remember that?
I do. No, I got it. But he was just going to be a quality backup like Andy Dalton was, the best backup quarterback in the league.
The backup is the best player on the team until he has to play.
Okay, all right, I got it. The point is, they're way better than what I just demonstrated to you.
You think so?
And to me, I still have to blame the two Mikes. Mike McCarthy, Mike Nolan. For whatever reason, it never clicked. This team never responded to either one of them. I've already called for Mike Nolan's job. He embarrassed me again yesterday. We'll talk about it later with the Tabasco incident in which he just sort of touches his eye and gets Tabasco sauce in his eye trying to do a Zoom press conference.
The man was eating wings.
I guess he was eating wings. Well, he has no business even eating anything right now. He should be on bread and water. He should be...
That's a shame, Skip.
Hey, seriously.
Let the man live.
No. Eating wings before you do a Zoom conference? Stop it.
He probably was having wings and beer because y'all driving the man to drink.
Okay, well, he's driven me to something. He's driven me completely over the edge. My point is, it did not work. He hasn't been a coordinator since 2014 when his Atlanta Falcons allowed the most yards in the whole National Football League. It was a cronyism at its worst choice by Mike McCarthy.
I just wanted to...
And Jerry Jones keeps defending it because I still believe, I swear to you, I believe Jerry is just shrewd enough to look down this schedule and say, you know what? We are now playing for Trevor Lawrence. Well, you think I'm joking, but I'm not, because I don't. If you have half a football brain, you can't make a case they're going to win another game.
Well, that's already two more games than the Jets probably going to win.
Well, I don't know.
The Jets go to Kansas City this week.
Okay, I got it. But again, you still love Sam Darnold.
Yes.
Okay, are they capable of winning a game here or there?
Well, Skip, it just goes to show you. I don't care how good your quarterback is. Let him get beat up. You hit an offensive line, they got Nick Foles having guys wide open, he taking the check down. Okay. Because he already know he's going to get hit in his mouth if he take another step.
Okay, I got it. In the end, it has to be coaching. They have to be better. In my whole career, I've never seen a collapse by a team ranked this highly before the season started to come to this.
I want to know the man that hired them. Who hired, who put them in position? He has to take some responsibility.
He does, and his name is Gerald Wayne Jones Jr.
Okay.
Oh, how quickly expectations change for the Dallas Cowboys. We're going to have to leave it there for now, because Bruce Arians keeps getting asked about the Bucs' decision to bring in Tom Brady's friend and former All-Pro wide receiver Antonio Brown. While the possibility first came up in the offseason, Arians said the move didn't make sense then as it does right now. Arians also said that he did consider his locker room before signing off on the acquisition, telling Peter King, quote, "This move wasn't made without me talking to every single player of every single veteran player." He asked them this, "Do you want this guy in our locker room?" And every man said yes. So Shannon, you said yesterday you don't necessarily like this move. Will AB be the reason the Bucs don't make it to the Super Bowl that we played in their stadium?
No, AB won't be the reason. I love it, Skip, that all of a sudden now personnel move, coaches go around and ask veteran players. They've never really done that before.
Nope. I agree.
Maybe you go ask Tom Brady, "Hey, Tom, look, we're thinking about signing this guy. What do you think?" Tom like, "Okay, sure, I'll get him." It's kind of like LeBron when they, you know, make trades. Listen, what do you think about this? I got it.
Do you think Belichick ever asked Brady, "Do you like this idea?"
Heck no. Because he didn't care.
He did not care.
Skip, look, I've made it clear. Skip, I wouldn't have made the move, especially on this team, because I believe I have the weaponry from Mike Evans to Godwin to Scotty Miller to Gronk, to break, Cameron Brake, to running game. I have enough offensively. Now, maybe, Skip, you said, okay, this is an insurance policy. I'm going to sign him to make sure, keep him away from New Orleans, keep him away from somebody else that could potentially sign him. Because if we don't, there's a good chance someone else will.
Yep.
So I'd rather him be in our locker room as opposed to, say, Green Bay, as opposed to New Orleans, or anybody else in the NFC that could potentially be... Seattle, because it looked like Seattle really wanted him. So for me, Skip, I wouldn't have done it because I believe they have enough. But AB won't be the reason. I believe he'll probably be on his best behavior for one simple reason. He have the ultimate respect for number 12.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe 12 has reciprocated that and have the respect. Whatever he may or may not have done, Tom Brady says, "You come to me with a clean slate. You're a blank sheet of paper, and I'm going to accept you from this point on based on what you do moving forward."
Mm.
Not what you've done before you got here, because I've heard the story about how you and Ben clashed, how you and Mike Tomlin, how you show up late for meeting, you wouldn't come to practice, yada, yada. I heard all that, but you didn't do that on my watch. And that's what most teams say, Skip. I heard about that, but you come here with a clean slate.
Mm.
And I believe because Brady have that respect for AB, AB has that level of respect for Tom Brady, I believe Brady will be able to say, "AB, this is what we need to do. This is what we need from you." And the days of not getting 15 targets and throwing water coolers and saying all kind of things and confronting the receiver, those are over. because he knows he's on his fourth chance. And I don't believe there'll be another chance after this. Because if you can't play with Tom Brady, because we've never seen a guy behave in the manner that AB has behaved in Pittsburgh or Oakland.
Yep.
I don't believe he'll behave like that, but I wouldn't have done it because I believe I have enough. Now, if you're telling me, well, that hamstring from Godwin might go at any time, that ankle is not going to get any better from Mike Evans, okay, an insurance policy, I get it. Mm-hmm. But I think they have enough, but I feel very comfortable in saying he ain't going to be the reason they don't get to the Super Bowl. Mm.
I am surprised by that conclusion because you were adamant yesterday, bad idea. Wrong guy to add to this mix in this.
Well, the reason why, Skip, because the money that they're paying him and it's incentive. So basically, it's a week to week deal. He's a weekly worker. He's an hourly worker, Skip. Like, and Bruce Arians made it abundantly clear. He misbehaved, he gone. He don't buy into the team, he gone.
Yep.
He said if he don't buy into the team concept, it'll be the shortest contract in NFL history.
Yep.
Basically, that's what he's saying. Mm-hmm. So he will not get enough. He will not get a long enough opportunity to throw a wrench into this.
Okay. By all accounts, this is a very good locker room. And again, as I said, as we opened the show, Tom Brady has almost impossibly quickly transformed the culture in Tampa into New England-like culture.
Yes.
By all accounts, it's a very good locker room with good guys. Mike Evans seems like a really good guy to me. Chris Godwin seems like a really good guy to me. Cameron Brate, and we can go on and on. Now, you have guys who have had issues before. Fournette has had some issues.
Right.
And obviously, if you throw AB into the fire, you're throwing gasoline onto the fire potentially, right? This is the same Tom Brady who said, give me Randy Moss in 2007.
Correct.
He did not have AB kind of baggage, but he did have some baggage.
Yes.
And Tom Brady loved him.
Right.
Tom Brady just embraced him, and I believe he embraced back the Patriot way.
Right.
And he started to balk against it after 2 years, and then pretty quickly after a Monday night, he was out.
You got it. That guy, Randy, was a guy that he had to have respect for the coach, which he had for Denny Green.
Yep.
He had to have respect for the quarterback, which he had for Culpepper to an extent, and he had for Tom. If they don't have those
two. He also had the great Chris Carter as his big brother.
Right. And then Skip. And then for whatever reason, he went to Oakland.
He was done. He did not even want to get off the bus in Oakland. I've heard that firsthand from the guy at the top.
Right.
And they just gave him, what was for a fourth-round pick?
Third or fourth-round pick,
They just gave him New England, and the rest is history.
Yes.
Because 2000 records fell like snow in Foxborough,
right? Correct.
Okay, so what does Tom Brady know about Antonio? Well, they signed him on a Monday before the game at Miami.
Correct.
On Tuesday, that civil suit got filed, alleging three different instances of sexual assault. Mm-hmm. So that was a bombshell and could have been a big distraction. So they practiced Wednesday, Thursday, and a little bit on Friday, walked through maybe on Saturday. They had to fly.
Right.
And they're back in Antonio's hometown in Miami. It winds up 43-0 Patriots because Miami was really struggling at that point, as you recall. But right away, both Belichick and Brady said, we don't care about the naysayers. We don't care about the negativity. We are going to play Antonio Brown. And in the very first drive, they put him in on the second play of the game and threw him the football. Mm-hmm. And Tom threw him several passes, but I think we have a riff of the four that Antonio caught. You can just see what started happening. This is with 1 week of practice. Mm-hmm. That they don't know each other at all, and Brady immediately lets the first throw to Antonio on his first play of the game, the second play for the Patriots. And then here he goes again. This is still on that first drive. He hit him three straight times. And this is the third time on the first drive. That was pretty much double covered. And then he hit him with the touchdown pass to seal it. And again, it's a route. And as you know, the rest of the story is there was a group text and Robert Kraft got involved. And then Antonio ripped Robert Kraft and he was gone. After 1 week, he was gone. But they clicked and connected so deeply that they stayed in close touch the whole time, Antonio and Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. That's an unlikely couple, right?
Right.
Those are strange bedfellows.
There's nothing more valuable than the quarterback and wide receiver respecting one another.
Yep.
And don't tell me my success is just tied to you, because I would never say your success is just tied to me. And for whatever reason, they became a level of disrespect. And then the gap between the disrespect, it got larger and larger. And so once that happened, AB was not going to acquiesce. And Ben's like, I'm the de facto leader of the team, because the general manager basically said, Ben got Super Bowls, he the dad, y'all the kids, listen up.
Yep.
Once it was that, they'd be like, I'm out. Mm. I'm out. But he never broached that. Tom doesn't strike me as a guy that says, even as accomplished as he is, would ever tell a player, I made you. Your success is tied to me. I can dictate how good you are in a given game. Mm-hmm. That doesn't strike me as Tom Brady. And I think AB felt that Ben, whether he said that or acted in such a way. Now, AB is not without blame. Mm. So I don't want people to think, well, Shannon, you letting that know?
Hey, time out. This man across from me, the Hall of Famer Shannon Sharpe, no Hall of Famer has been harder on Antonio Brown than you have.
No.
You even said it straight to the man's face at Houston, our first go-round here on Undisputed.
I'd cut him.
It was ahead of the Patriots-Atlanta Super Bowl. We had AB on the show from Houston, and you just told him right to his face, you'd be done with it.
I saw what was happening, Skip.
He went Facebook Live in the locker room.
In the locker room, Skip, that's off limits.
Yep.
Now, everybody knows the immediately after the game, you're in the locker room. The coach, you have the undivided attention.
And he unwittingly incriminated his head coach, Mike Tomlin, who was giving a hellfire and damnation speech about getting ready for New England. And he unfortunately used some term about New England. And AB,
he got it live. He like, bro, you should be paying attention.
Yeah.
I felt that was the beginning of the end. But there are a lot of things that was going on that wasn't reported.
Yeah.
Because, Skip, when you look, everybody knows. It doesn't matter. People think it's just like superstars in sports. No. If you're really good at your job will give you more leeway as far as coming in late, as far as absences. Your job, the better you are at your job, the more leeway you get. That's no different than in sports.
Okay,
but
I got it.
The good thing is that the most people realize that, well, let's not abuse the privilege.
Okay. So I believe that Antonio Brown, not only will he not be the reason they don't get to a home Super Bowl, I believe he'll be the reason they do get to it. I believe that Tom is going to show the young receivers the way. They both made the Pro Bowl, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, last year, and they went 7-9. They didn't make the playoffs. I believe he'll show them, because he's got the cachet, he's got the six rings, to say winning is everything.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what your numbers are. Doesn't matter what my numbers are. We just have to figure out how to go win every game from here on out, including the playoff games, to get us to the home Super Bowl. And if your numbers fall, so be it, because there's only one number that's going to matter in the end, and it's the one on the scoreboard in the last game.
It ain't about numbers. It's about alphabets.
No, it is.
Dub and L.
Those two letters. That's all that really matters. They can get their numbers later in their career, but they need to get a ring right now.
Well, Scotty Miller ain't going to be upset, because AB is going to be in the slot. Scotty Miller like, hey, Tommy, we were just bonding.
You could be right about that.
We were just bonding.
But you know, and I know, injuries are going to happen.
Yeah.
We got soft tissue issues everywhere in this league, right?
Yeah.
And again, I hope they stay healthy. They already lost a stud tight end in O.J. Howard, who can just fly. So they lost their deep threat tight end. Well, they'll need Antonio Brown at some point. And by the way, little Scotty Miller, he's been all beat up all year.
And then Mike Evans is already not getting targets.
Nope.
So the targets going to be even fewer. Hopefully that it doesn't upset, because, Skip, it's hard, though. I'm telling you, man, when you get guys that have become accomplished, even though they want to win, they don't want to be less accomplished in the process of winning.
I know. Unless you drive home to them, all that matters is that ring.
Yeah. That changes things.
So AB will be eligible after week 8. Most likely that debut will be Sunday, November 8th against the Saints. So it really is around the corner.
Or when the Saints go marching in?
Yep.
Or when the Saints go marching in? I think I want some dew on that.
Do you really?
I think I'm going to give me a little dew on that.
My dew's going to be on AB.
Marching in. No mercy.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
The Patriots are coming off their worst home loss of the Bill Belichick era, with their offense struggling to put up points as they fell to 2-4 in their first season without Tom Brady. One exec even made an interesting comparison in The Athletic, saying, quote, Phil Jackson was a great coach, but it turns out it really does matter if Michael Jordan is there. In this analogy, Michael Jordan is now the quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who sit at 5-2 and look like the best team in the NFC. Super Bowl champ and Fox college football analyst Reggie Bush joining us this morning. Reggie, is Tom Brady now proving that he was far more valuable than Coach Belichick?
I think he was extremely valuable to New England Patriots and to Bill Belichick because Brady was always the failsafe. Brady was always the reason why Belichick could attract players to go there because he even found ways to not have to pay players the big contracts because of what? Because you were going to win football games. You're going to get a chance to play with Tom Brady. But now that's not there, right? Now Belichick is kind of seeing, you know, just how important it is to have good players. And I don't think we can sit here and can compare the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to the New England Patriots. Those are two totally different built football teams right now. And when Tom Brady left New England, he didn't have the same amount of weapons that he has now. And that's what a lot of people were also arguing for, is who is Brady throwing it to? He has no weapons. They're not getting separation. But now he's in Tampa Bay. Now he's getting separation. He has weapons. So I don't think we can compare both of those teams. I think for the average casual fan, they might look at this conversation or look at this question and say, well, yeah, clearly Brady deserves more respect. But for anybody who's actually played the game, Sharp, I know you can attest to this too. You got to have both. You got to have a good coach. You got to have good players. And that's it. Whoever deserves more credit or that's for a different conversation. But as far as being a championship caliber team, you got to have the elements of all those things, not just good players. You can't have bad coaches and great players. That won't work. You also can't have great coaches and bad players. That won't work. You got to have great coaches and great players. And that's what they had in New England. And that's why they were able to win so many championships.
It's hard for me to like end the debate right now after seven games. Because, Reggie, you know what I didn't hear? After the first 2 weeks of the season, nobody broached this conversation, did they? Cam Newton was playing unbelievable. They had beaten Miami. Cam had just thrown for 400 yards against Seattle. And nobody said that Coach Belichick was wrong to let Tom Brady go. Mm-hmm. Now they've kind of fallen on hard times. Tom Brady and the Bucs have seemed to taken off. Now we want to revisit this conversation. They go hand in hand, as you mentioned, Rich. I can only think of two head coaches, Skip, that's in the Hall of Fame, guys, that didn't have a Hall of Fame quarterback. Joe Gibbs, he had three. Mm-hmm. None of those quarterbacks in the Hall of Fame. And Bill Parcells. Every other coach that's in the Hall of Fame, Skip, he had a Hall of Fame quarterback. Don Shula is the all-time winningest coach. Guess what he had? He had three of them. He went from Johnny Unitas to Bob Greasy to Dan Marino. That probably would explain, Skip, why he has the most wins.
Yeah, I mean, Bob Greasy wasn't a great player, but he was very good.
He was great. He would be considered great for that time.
He would.
Now, if we look back at him now, when you're throwing tip five, I think he won a playoff game, Skip. He completed like three or four passes. But they were a running football team. So what Brady allowed Coach Belichick to do was he could take, it didn't matter the players, because he knew he had the ultimate deodorant, the cover-up of any smell that he brought into that locker room. Brady could cover it up and make it smell sweet. Defense, offense, and like you said, Skip, what Brady allowed Coach Belichick to do was get away with the unthinkable. Pay guys below their market value. Because I heard Darrell Revis on the podcast said he asked for $16 million. He said, "But Tom only makes $14 million." So he said, "Well, I can't give you more than him." Mm-mm. And that's what he did with everybody, Skip. Once Tom Brady started taking less, Coach Belichick then could say, "How can I play you more than what he? Look what he's making." And so that's what he allowed him to do. But let's not forget the fact, Reggie, in 19 years of starting,
Tom Brady had 16 times he had a top 10 defense. Exactly what he has now. So 17 and 20 seasons. He has weapons. So we're going to say, well, he didn't have anybody to throw to. And then we're going to say Cam's a bum. The same guys that he had to throw to last year, Cam got them. And they're even worse. Like Julian Skip, you said Julian Edelman was broken down last year. Well, he need to pull that thing side of the road. We need to call the tow truck and get him out of our yard because he can't go nowhere.
Remember, last year, he led the whole league in drops. So go ahead.
He up at it again.
Okay.
So, Skip, at the end of the season, I know you've been waiting for this moment. You've been waiting for this moment since you and I got on air 4 years ago in September to say Tom Brady is 80, 85. And I'm sure by the
percent of the credit. Yes.
I'm sure by the end of the year, you'll be at 90. But don't count on Coach Belichick out just yet.
Well, if you say I'm leaping to a premature conclusion, go on the record. Will Belichick turn it around? Will they make the playoffs? Will they do what you predicted they would do and win the AFC East?
Hold on. Even if they don't do it this year, what if they win the division next year? What if they go to win a Super Bowl in the next couple of years? Would that have proved him right?
Tom Brady's going to get to this year's Super Bowl.
You can't definitively say that.
Game over. I already predicted it, and I'm standing by it.
You predicted the Cowboys would win, too.
I did not. I said they'd win 10 games. They'd win the East.
Are they going to win 10 games?
I said they'd win a playoff
game. Are they going to win 10 games?
No, they're not going to win another game, but that's all you got on me right now because I got Brady all over you.
You do. You got
now,
Brady.
Now, I got to go back to my man, Reggie. So Reggie opened up, and he was going down the Brady, the Yellow Brick Road to Tom Brady is the greatest and all that. And then at the end, Reggie backed off and said, but you need great coaching and great quarterbacking. So, Reggie, would you break it down to sort of 50-50 what happened with the dynastic Patriots?
Well, I think Sharp made a great point, right? Brady didn't play defense, and the New England Patriots always had a really good defense. And Belichick was able to even adjust. I don't know if you remember, a couple of times he went from a 4-3 to a 3-4, back to a 4-3. So he was able to adjust with the defense. And he was able to, again, attract players because of Brady. Guys wanted to win championships. That's why Darrelle Revis came there on a one-year deal. He was able to attract Stephon Gilmore there, who's there now, who's playing great football. But they had Brady. Now some of those guys have opted out. Brady's not there. Gronk's not there. It's a different attraction now. Why would I want to go to New England right now? For what?
Thank you. Here's the point. I said this 4 years ago to my man Shannon, and I stand by it. Tom Brady made Bill Belichick. And now because he's on this mad mission to get even with Belichick and prove him wrong, and you don't bet against Tom Brady when he's on a mission, he is exposing Belichick for what he is and always was. If you look at those first 5 years, he was a head coach for the Cleveland Browns. They made the playoffs one time in 5 years, and they finished 36 and 44 overall, and he got fired. Then he goes to New England. Brady is not the starting quarterback. In the first year with Drew Bledsoe, they go 5 and 11. In the second year, they start off 0-2 before Bledsoe fatefully took a shot from Mo Lewis in the chest, I guess it was, and he was done for much of the rest of the year. He did come back late in the AFC game. Mm-hmm. But the point is, Tom Brady took over when Bill Belichick, as a career head coach, was 41 and 57, and the rest is NFL history. Again, I give Brady at least 75% of the dynastic credit because he took over the franchise in the locker room and in the huddle and on the scoreboard. And he allowed Belichick to get away with verbally abusing players in ways no coach could have ever lasted getting away with. There's no way Shannon Sharp or Reggie Bush would have wanted to play for that Bill Belichick, except that Tom Brady was in the locker room saying, guys, it's okay. It's just the way he is. We'll be okay. We can win in spite of him. And because of that, Bill Belichick got away with bringing in a lot of swings and misses and free agencies. He got away with swinging and missing in the draft a lot.
Yes.
Because he had Tom Brady, as you say, he's the ultimate deodorant, especially on the offensive side. Just give him any old group of receivers and he'll figure it out because he won six rings with six game-winning drives in the fourth quarter overtime. That's unheard of. That's impossibly great. So he chooses out of the blue Tampa Bay, the Succoneers, as they were called. They had the worst winning percentage in all of sports when he chose, I'm going there. Did anybody say that Todd Bowles had a great defense last year? No, they went 7-9, but I kept telling Shannon Sharp, down the stretch last year, last four or five games, they started to come to life. Good. Then they got the GOAT. And all of a sudden, Levante David and Devin White are saying, God, we got the GOAT. Watch this. And they are playing not just Pro Bowl football. Yeah. They're playing Defensive Player of the Year kind of football because the whole defense has been lifted by the presence of Tom Brady, who's already recreating the Patriot culture in Tampa Bay. It's impossibly great. I think he's edged ahead in the MVP race. They have edged ahead as the best team in the NFC, and it's making Belichick look worse and worse because he pushed Tom Brady out the door.
I was going to say this one point. Tom Brady is so attractive that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are willing to take a chance on Antonio Brown while their season is already looking very good. This team already looks good. The chemistry is already good. That's how attractive Tom Brady is.
Reggie, let me, quarterback A, he's 22nd in completion percentage. He's 21st in yards per attempt. He's 16th in QBR. He's 6th in pass attempts. Does that sound like an MVP to you?
Nope.
Well, I got one for you. How about a quarterback who leads the whole league in what are called big-time throws with 24?
Does he,
who also leads the league in fewest turnover-worthy throws with only 3.
Does he lead the league in fewest turnovers? Because my homeboy has one with 16 touchdowns. Aaron Rodgers is 17-2. So you talking about worthy plays. I'm talking about actually turnovers.
Second most touchdown passes in the league right now, Tom Brady, or as I call him, Tampa Bay. 18. Suck on that for a while.
How about this here? What's my guy's name, Russell? Russell has 22 in a fewer games. So don't count Russ out just yet.
Boy, the same Russ who threw 3 the other night?
Your guy threw 2 in one game, right?
No mercy.
The Cowboys are reeling after another blowout loss, and their 2-5 record could easily be 0-7 if not for a couple of late-game field goals. Dallas has the worst scoring defense in the league, and Pro Football Focus points out that they also have the lowest graded coverage unit in the NFL. PFF continues to write that Dallas may not win more than one more game the rest of the season. Reggie Bush is back with us. Reggie, what is the biggest reason the Cowboys have been so shockingly bad?
Well, I've always been a firm believer that the personality of a team is followed by its head coach. So we're seeing the personality of Mike McCarthy in this team play out right now. And listen, I play for one of the most compatible coaches in the history of the game, and that's Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll has been absolutely compatible with all of his players in any era, no matter what the era is. And I think we're seeing a big disconnect between Mike McCarthy and the Dallas Cowboys and Mike Nolan and that defense. And that's why you see some players who've played for these guys come out and defend them because they say, well, he was a great coach when I played for him. But how long ago was that, right? And the game is always evolving. The game is always changing. So Jerry Jones hired Mike McCarthy based on this Super Bowl that he won a decade ago. But that was so long ago. A lot has changed. Again, the game has evolved. Players have changed. Right. You got to be able to understand these players, what drives them, what keeps their attention. Right. You got to be able to understand social media, pop culture, all the what kind of music they listen to, because the head coach, it's his job to be the ultimate people person. You got to understand what drives the brains and the minds of your players. And if you don't understand that, well, then all those X's and O's, you can throw those out the window. Right. All those analytics that you see Mike McCarthy standing up, talking about, preaching over after some of these games in his press game conferences, analytics is not going to help him or save him in this moment because the players don't believe in him. They don't trust him, right? And when you're telling me to do some things in practice, and then I go out there on Sunday and we are getting shredded, right? We're getting shredded on game day. Well, then I lose faith and trust in what you're telling me. And then we also don't even connect from a social standpoint. So now you just have this big gap between players and the coaches. And that's what we're seeing happening right now.
You said something very interesting in the last segment. You said Tom Brady allowed Coach Belichick to do things that probably he wouldn't be able to get away with. You do realize who Mike McCarthy's quarterback was for a decade that he was there? Aaron Rodgers allowed Mike McCarthy. Skip, we realize he had some very poor defenses. Aaron Rodgers went 15-1 in a season in which they had the 31st or 32nd ranked defense. They ended up losing in the division, the playoffs to Eli. Eli came to Lambeau Field and dropped 37 on them because the defense was so bad. And I get it. I get all that, what you're saying about you have to understand the players. You look at Coach Belichick. Coach Belichick is one that seems to evolve. They're playing Lil Baby. They're playing Da Baby. They're playing Migos. They're playing all this. They're playing all these rappers because that's what resonates with these youthful players now. But at the end of the day, I can coach you technique. I can coach you that. I can coach you your alignment. I can't coach effort. I can't coach you what DK Metcalf did. I can't coach that. And that's what I'm not seeing. I'm not seeing the effort. If I got to set the edge, I can't let my outside arm get captured. If I got force, I got to come down here with authority no matter what. And I'm not seeing that. I'm seeing Antonio Gibson hit his head on the goalpost on a 14-yard run, and nobody touches him. He can run in the A-gap, or he could have just said, you know what? I don't even want to do the A today. I want to cut it backside and hit the B-gap. And nobody would have touched him. That's unacceptable. It's easy to say, well, the coaches and this scheme doesn't fit what I do. But at the end of the day, you still have a job to do, and they're not doing it. Sure, maybe they're not. Maybe Mike McCarthy isn't the right guy for the job. Maybe Mike Nolan isn't the right guy. Maybe they got 4-3 people and he wants to play a 3-4. But at the end of the day, Ricky, you know how this thing works. Did you or did you not get the job done? That's all I need to know. Did you or did you not? Hey, I understand it. I just need to give me a healthy baby. I understand you're going to have pains and the heartburn and all that, but I need that healthy baby. I need the Cowboys to give me healthy play on defense.
So, Sean, I think you made such a great point with the play that DK Metcalf made in that game, running down the defender who was going to score a pick six. That shows you that the energy, the personality of that team follows its head coach, because we were doing those same things when I was at USC under Pete Carroll. We were making effort plays like that. But those effort plays have to come from the motivation of your head coach.
So, Reggie, how did Sean Payton, your first pro coach, rank in compatibility?
Really good. Sean was really good. And he was, I mean, our first year, you got to understand, the New Orleans Saints in 2006 were not the New Orleans Saints in 2005. Those were two completely different football teams. But when Sean Payton got there, he completely shifted the mindset. It was just the mindset. He didn't recreate football. He shifted the mindset of the players. He brought in some new guys like me, Drew Brees, some other players, and then helped us and then got us there to that point. But I thought Sean Payton did a great job. And he's still winning football games. He's still a great coach. Well, that shows you his compatibility. He understands his players.
I agree. So let's hark back to preseason when all the sites, all the pro football focused type sites ranked the Dallas Cowboys as a top five team. Consensus pick to win the NFC East. Mm-hmm. So, by all accounts, the talent was there, but there were two new voices at the top, the two Mikes, McCarthy, Nolan. For whatever reason, starting with game one, opening drive out here at brand new SoFi Stadium on a Sunday night, the Rams offense went 7 plays, 75 yards for an opening touchdown. They went ahead 7-0, and my team basically stayed behind the whole rest of the way through 7 games. And it got worse and worse and worse to the point that against Arizona and then at Washington, my team just flat out quit on the head coach and on the new DC. And it's hard to watch, but I have to blame both the new voices because they don't just coach old school. To Reggie's point, they just coach old. You know, their mindsets are just old. They are completely disconnected from this whole team. This team has rejected their teaching, their beliefs. They don't trust, that they don't respond to. They just flat out have quit. And there's too much talent in that locker room, even without Dak, for this team to just roll over and play dead for two straight games.
Are they really? See, and that's the thing. Because Pro Football Focus said this was the sixth most talented roster in football, the third most talented offense in football, the 15th most talented. Is that team really that talented? Because we made that because it was Jason Garrett. Jason Garrett's not tough enough. All he does is clap. He missed a clap. Okay, you got rid of Jason Garrett. Chris Richard, that defense is just too fundamental. You just line up in single high safety.
They should have kept
you play the Rob Alert. Rod Marinelli, you lost touch. Okay, we changed coaching staffs. Now, the only thing that's the same are those players, and the results are worse. So you're going to get another coach, and you keep those same players, and then it gets even worse. So at what point do we hold the players accountable? Because they're still cashing checks, but they're not giving me the production that warrant the kind of pay that they're getting.
Sharp, let me make this one point, because when you look at Mike Vrabel, right? Mike Vrabel understands his players, and the players understand him, right?
Yes.
That's the reason why a guy like him can step in and the team right away excels, because the energy is there. They want to play for him, right? Steve Kerr is another great example, right? Sean McVay with the Los Angeles Rams. He's another great example of somebody who steps in, understands his team, right? They're using checks. Halle Berry is a check. Barack Obama is one of the checks that the quarterbacks are yelling out. Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff resonates with the players. Now, I'm not saying that's what wins you football games. Please, that is not what we're saying right now. But when it comes down to the energy, the passion, the fight, right? We can look at just one play in that game. One play describes the entire team of the Dallas Cowboys, and that's when Andy Dalton got hit in the head and none of the players jumped on Bostic. That told me everything I needed to know from just watching one play.
You watched the Rams last night on that 4th-and-1. When Cordell Patterson caught that ball and Jalen Ramsey stood up at 210 pounds, a 325-pound offensive tackle, and you watched hold that edge. When you set the edge or basically keep contained, man, them Jones get around the edge on the Cowboys anytime they want to. From Odell to Kyler Murray to Antonio Gibson to Kyle Allen. It doesn't matter the player. They giving up the edge left and right. That's not coaching. That's guys not doing their responsibility.
Yeah. Yep. No mercy.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to The Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.